إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، continue reading from the chapter من جحد شيئا من الأسماء والصفات. Whoever denies any of the names and the attributes of Allah from Kitab al-Tawheed, Kitab al-Tawheed of the Imam al-Mujaddid Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab rahimahullah, the explanation from al-Mulakhas fi Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed of our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan hafidhahu Allah ta'ala wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi وللمسلمين والمسلمات. آمين. Last week, alhamdulillah, in the previous class, we began reading the explanation of this chapter. And as an Imam, Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned the ayah 30 in Surah Al-Ra'd, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. ثم قال وفي صحيح البخاري قال علي حدث الناس بما يعرفون أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. Then he mentioned another proof that is in Sahih al-Bukhari. That Ali radiallahu anhu said, address people with what their minds can comprehend. Address people with what their minds can comprehend. Will you be pleased if Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are belied? قال الشيخ حفظه الله صحيح البخاري أي الكتاب الذي جمع فيه البخاري الأحاديث الصحيحة. It's a صحيح البخاري. It is الجامع, the book, well known book to us of hadith in which الإمام البخاري رحمه الله compiled narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والبخاري البخاري, because we all hear Imam Bukhari, Imam Bukhari. What's his name? His name, Muhammad al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail. That's his name. Sometimes you may hear his name, Muhammad ibn Ismail. You should know that this is al-Imam al-Bukhari. قَالَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ يعني صحيحه كتابه صحيح البخاري وسمي بالبخاري لأنه نسبة إلى بخارى بلدة في المشرق. And he is al-Bukhari because he's from this area called Bukhara in the eastern part by Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan. When it is right now, Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan, that's the area where Imam al-Bukhari was from, and many, many great a'imma of hadith like Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and many great a'imma of hadith, they came from that area, from the east part, if you were south of Russia, where there is now Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and the like. وكتابه أصح كتاب بعد كتاب الله. And this book, the ulama, he says it is the most sound book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His book, صحيح البخاري. المعنى الإجمالي للأثر. This is an author. It's not a hadith, because this is a statement of Ali رضي الله عنه, a companion from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is an athar. The ulama, they refer to a statement of a sahabi as an athar, unless if the sahabi mentions something that from the unseen and from the rulings, regulations of the deen, that there is no way that the companion will mention that except that he has heard it from the Prophet ﷺ. فَيَكُونُ فِي حُكْمِ الْمَرْفُوعِ. Even though the companion said that, but the ulama, they trace it back to be a hadith. Because the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, they do not speak in those matters without hearing it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-ma'na al-ijma'li, the general meaning, qala yurshidu amir al-mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu ila annahu la yanbaghi an yuhaddatha ammatun nas illa bima huwa ma'roof ينفع الناس في أصل دينهم وأحكامه من التوحيد وبيان الحلال والحرام ويترك ما يشغل عن ذلك مما لا حاجة إليه أو كان مما يؤدي إلى رد الحق وعدم قبوله مما يشتبه عليهم فهمه ويصعب عليهم إدراكه وقد قال علي ذلك حينما كثر القصاص أي الوعاظ في خلافته. Here, Ali radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the fourth Khalifa, al-Khalifa al-Rashid al-Rabi, min al-Khulafa al-Rashideen. Here in this athar, in his statement, he's advising that it's not befitting for a person to address the layman and the common folks with, except with that which is known to them, and be of a benefit for them, such as talking to them. And when you talk to them, whether by the way of classes in Jumu'ah and admonitions and sermons and the like, the layman, they should be addressed in a way that they are to be taught first also the deen, the foundation of the religion, tawheed and the like. Wal-ahkam, likewise the rulings, regulations of tahara, that's what they need to know first, that's what they are addressed, how their tahara is correct and sound, their salat, their zakat, their fasting, their hajj, because they are obliged to carry out these actions of worship. Tawheed, because without tawheed, nothing will be of any benefit. Likewise, he says halal and haram. They need to know what is halal and haram in their transactions, in this and that. And anything else that they cannot comprehend should be left away from them. That which they don't need immediately, or that which may be a problem for them by rejecting the truth. When a person addresses the layman with matters, they are not to their level, because they don't have the ability to comprehend and understand those matters. يَسْعُوا عَلَيْهِمْ إِدْرَاكُهُ. And he says, and Ali radiallahu anhu, he mentioned this in a times in his time when he saw that there was a type of people that appeared, they called قُصَّاس وَعَاب in his khilafah. Before this, the ulama used to talk about this usul of deen, making clear the tawheed and that which contradicts it or takes away from its completion, that is shirk with its types. Talk about the sunnah, the foundation of the sunnah. They warn against innovations and the like. But now appear certain people who they indulge in stories and which present and takes the people away from those matters that they're supposed to be hearing from usul al-deen, the foundations, and the principles of the religion. مناسبة الأثر للباب قال يأتي بيانها بعد ذكر الأثر الذي بعده. As for the relevance of this other this chapter, the Shaykh said he's going to mention that after the he's going to explain inshallah the next one. ما يستفاد من الأثر. What is some of the benefits of this أثر؟ قال أنه إذا خشي ضرر من تحديث الناس ببعض ما لا يفهمون فلا ينبغي تحديثهم بذلك وإن كان حقا. If a person addressing the people, and this is very important, there is an art, and it's part of hikmah actually, of the da'i. As Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, الداعي ينبغي أن يكون على بصيرة فيما يدعو إليه. That the da'i, the caller, has to be upon basira, من having knowledge of what he's calling to. وعلى بصيرة بحال المدعو. Number two, he has to also have knowledge of the person he's addressing. He doesn't address all the people on the same level. And also, يكون على بصيرة في أسلوب الدعوة. Likewise, the da'i has to have knowledge in choosing how to address the people as well. How to address the people and knowing the means so that the da'wah be successful. He says, so addressing the people, if a person sees or fears that addressing the people with certain matters that they do not understand may bring some harm to them, he should not talk to them about those matters, even if it's true. That's why our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, I heard him say a couple of times, لِكُلِّ مَقَالٍ مَقَامٍ وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ رِجَالُهُ. He says every statement has the proper place and time for it. And every place or gathering has its own people, is known through its own people. So a person don't just sit and keep talking. Sometimes you find a person in a lecture, he's addressing the layman somewhere, and he's talking about terminology of hadith, the whole lecture. What make a hadith weak, and he's bringing the terminologies of the great ulama, he's mentioning some books, the people didn't even hear the letter to Rasul yet. And then that miskin, he thinks he did something good. People don't even, and they go, didn't understand anything. قال وروى عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ابن طاووس عن أبيه عن ابن عباس أنه رأى رجلا انتفض أي ارتعب لما سمع حديثا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصفات استنكارا لذلك فقال ما فرق هؤلاء أي ما خوف هؤلاء يجدون رقة عند محكمه ويهلكون عند متشابهه انتهى. Likewise, he mentioned this author, another author of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Imam narrated by the Imam Abdul Razzaq, al-San'ani, from Ma'mar, from Ibn Tawus, from his father Tawus, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma saw a man shivering when he heard the hadith about the attributes of Allah. So he was shivering in disapproval of what he heard. So Sometimes people, you tell them a hadith and they're like, is that possible? Because of their mind, their level of intellect and understanding. Now, so he says, مَا فَرَقُ هَؤُلَاء. Why do these people feel such issues? They accept what is precise in meanings, muhkam, and deviate from what is not. Al-Imam Abdul Razzaq, who has collected this hadith, Abdul Razzaq, he is Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani, the great Imam al-Hafid, Sahib al-Tasanif. He is a great Imam of hadith. He has a Musannaf. Musannaf al-Imam Abdul Razzaq. And he was from Yemen. He studied with Al-Layth ibn Sa'd in Egypt. Then he went back and he was one of the shuyukh of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. As for Ma'mar, he is Abu Urwa, Ma'mar ibn Rashid al-Azdi al-Basri, from Basra. He's a thiqa, thabt, one of great a'imma of hadith. He died in the year 154 of the Hijrah. 154 of the Hijrah. Ibn Tawus, he is Abdullah ibn Tawus al-Yamani, thiqatun fadilun abid. He died in the year 132 of the Hijrah, rahimahullah ta'ala. والمعنى الإجمالي لهذا الأثر أثر ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يقول ينكر ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما على أناس ممن يحضر مجلسه من عامة الناس يحصل منهم خوف عندما يسمعون شيئا من أحاديث الصفات ويرتعدون استنكارا لذلك فلم يحصل منهم الإيمان الواجب بما صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عرفوا معناه أو لم يعرفوه فتركوا ما وجب عليهم من الإيمان بما لم يعرفوا معناه من القرآن وهو حق لا يرتاب فيه مؤمن وبعضهم يحمله على غير معناه الذي أراده الله فيهلك بذلك سيدنا ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما criticized some common people who used to attend his sessions and his classes, his gatherings and circle of knowledge. Because the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim, they taught the people this, how this knowledge was disseminated. Ulama was Sahaba, they used to sit and teach the people. These people used to attend his sessions. So he criticized them for the fear they used to show upon hearing any narrations about Allah's sublime attributes due to their disapproval of them. This reaction indicates that their faith was incomplete as they did not believe in all that was authentically mentioned to them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether they comprehend it or is known to them or not. Thus those people renounce the religious obligation of believing in the Quranic verses whose meaning is unknown to them. Though it is known that the whole Quran is an unquestionable truth. Moreover, some of those people interpret the Quranic verses with a meaning that is not intended by Allah. So they perish by committing such a grave sin. As in the relevance of this hadith, of this athar to the bab, قال بعدما ذكر المؤلف أثر علي رضي الله عنه الذي يدل على أنه لا ينبغي تحديث الناس بما لا يعرفون ذكر هذا الأثر الذي يدل على أن نصوص الصفات ليست مما ينهى عن التحديث به بل ينبغي ذكرها وإعلانها، فليس استنكار بعض الناس لها بمانع من ذكرها، فما زال العلماء قديما وحديثا يقرؤون آيات الصفات وأحاديثها بحضرة العوام والخواص. Now the Sheikh, he says in the relevance of this author and why Sheikh al-Islam Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned it in this chapter, he said, after introducing the author of Ali radiallahu anhu, remember the author of Ali? That is not befitting for a person to address the laymen and the common folks with matters that they do not comprehend. And this is a mistake. You find a person bringing matters, big matters, and therefore confuse the people, because they don't understand these things. He said, however, he mentioned this author of Ibn Abbas to make an exception as related to the texts and the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ that deals with the attributes of Allah. Rather, these attributes have to be mentioned to the people. Doesn't matter just because certain people from the common folks, they disapprove to some of the ahadith because they couldn't comprehend them, like ahadith al-Nuzul, for example, that Allah descend. That's why you see sometimes certain people, they be asking some questions. How Allah did? Yes, mashallah, He descends, but in the last third of the night, but when it's night in China, it's not night in America. They can't understand. Why? Because of the iman. But those are rasikhun fil ilm. They say, look, who says this? Who says that Allah descend? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith sahih. What do you know about your Lord? Huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And what do you know? So Allah is able to do all things. What do you know about these attributes of Allah? That they do not resemble those of the creation. Yes, one, the human being, they cannot be in a night and a day at the same time. A human being cannot be somewhere where it's night and he's somewhere where it's day at the same time. Cannot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the qawa'id. People who have knowledge, they know this. They're like, look, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not resemble any of the creation. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing us that Allah descends in the last third of the night, that's it. We're not going to put our intellect, China is day, America night, I don't know what. Allah is able to do all things. And His descent, only He alone knows how it is. It's true now. But certain people, you don't know. With that, the Shaykh, he says, no. Even though this may be a problem for certain people, they need to know these things. That shows the importance of the attributes of Allah, the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the ulama from early ages until our time, they continue to present the texts of the attributes of Allah, the ayats from the Quran and the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of both the awam, the common folks, and those who have knowledge. So this shows that the da'i should have not only have knowledge, but you have to have hikmah and have wisdom as well. It's not just anyone who just sit down and keep talking and mention a lot of books, a lot of names. As there is usloob, level of the da'wah, ma'rifat hal mad'uween, knowing the people you're addressing. Before you address the people, you should know who they are. Sometimes you find some students of knowledge who don't have this understanding. They attend the lecture of another student of knowledge, and that student of knowledge, because of the the aghlabiyya, the majority of the people, and they gather in layman camouflage. So he mentioned, for example, the tawheed in a very simple way. You find the other one or two students were there, they're like, man, he's this man, they have no knowledge. That's it, they rule him that he has no knowledge. That's all he has? That's all the tawheed? He didn't mention no Fath al-Majid, no. Yeah, akhi, Fath al-Majid. The man is like a doctor, you know the doctor? A doctor, he prescribed the medicine according to the people condition. A person cannot take more than 10 milligrams. He's going to prescribe for him 100? No, 100 for another person who is stronger, his abilities can take that. Not only that, a training, someone, a fitness training, a Muslim fitness training, alhamdulillah, okay? No fitna involved, whether Planet Fitna or LA Fitna, whatever it is. Alright? Now this Muslim fitness training, alright, he wants to help his brothers, alhamdulillah, to get in shape. And they have to recognize that and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he's a good trainer, he has to keep in consideration what? The conditions and the level of the people. So if he has, like, for example, 10 people, and 9 of them, this is the first time they came to train, and maybe one of them is 50 years old, man, somehow they never run anything. And then you have only one person, man, he's an athletic guy, he's like, do a marathon. So now what are you going to do? He's going to just focus on that person. Alright, give me 100 push-ups. Get down, 100, give me 100 push-ups. 600 flutter kicks. Get up. I say, Applejack, sorry. Applejack is cereal, right? What is it? Jumping jacks. Alright, jumping jacks. 80 times. Is this right? This is not right. Now who is he working with? One person. It's people that cannot even do 5 push-ups. So he has to look. And he has to tell that person, look man, you came in this time, I got all these people, they just started. So I'm not going to work with you. If you want to do what they are doing, Jazakallah khair. But if you want to have intense training, you're going to come another time. Now I'm going to focus on these brothers right here. Okay? Because I don't want to put a hardship on them. Because if he work all this and push them, what are they going to do? What's going to happen, Hassan? They're going to say, well, never come back, brother. No way. And then they may even justify that. That's why I never want to exercise. I always tell you, it's hard. So just forget about it. His wife said, how was it, sweetie? Nice, I told you. He's like, nice. I'll never go there. You set me up. And then, because that brother, he was pushing them, the next morning, what happened, Hassan? They sore. Can't even make sujood. See, what kind of training is this? I can't even bend, I can't even make sujood. Maybe they didn't even go to work for a couple of days. Right or wrong? Many things. Why? Is it exercising bad? That bad? No, it's not. Well, I'm not going to say that fitness training is bad, but maybe he didn't get it together. No. He go with them. He tell them, Ikhwan, mashallah. He asked them, who amongst you did any training? No, not me, brother. Not me. He heard not me 9 times. And then one guy, oh, me, six years. Actually, I participate in so many marathons. And oh, yeah, there's a brother. And he worked with him. Right? He got to work with the brothers. If somebody's here and he's watching, if somebody go and he's like, "Akhi, stop right there. Oh, I can't do it." I said, don't compete with this brother. This guy, maybe he was here before you. He was here 3 months before you. Just do what you can, okay? And he will tell them, look, do what you can. When you see yourself, you cannot do it, stop.
So let the people, they love it, they go home, walk it, not like they have to carry them. I remember sometimes when you finish the training, you can't even walk. You can't even walk. People are going to come and pick you up. That person never come back. I da'wah. You're going to give the da'wah, somebody just keep talking because he want, I don't know, for whatever reason. And then the people, they go, oh, what this is? I don't know, man. My brother was saying a lot of stuff. Tell me one thing. I don't know. So what is the benefit of this class? What is the benefit of this gathering now? ما يستفاد من الأثر أولا أنه لا مانع من ذكر آيات الصفات وأحاديثها بحضرة عوام الناس وخواصهم من باب التعليم. That yes, mentioning the ayats and the ahadith of الصفات make the exception. Even though keep in mind the أصل is that you're gonna address the people, taking into consideration their levels of understanding and knowledge and the like, but you can still mention to them the ayats. And they mentioned the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, أن من رد شيئا من نصوص الصفات أو استنكره بعد صحته فهو من الهالكين. That anyone who rejects the text or some of the text or the attributes or disapprove of their meanings while knowing the authenticity of such texts, such person is from those who will be destroyed. وعياذ بالله. You don't reject a text from the Quran, nor you reject, not befitting for a Muslim to reject or disapprove of a text from the text of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We accept those texts, but if we don't understand, still we don't reject them. Like some of the people, this is how they go wrong. They put their intellect, and they say logically that's impossible. When they hear adab al-qabr, when they hear that certain people, they have this bliss and the qabr is very wide and mashallah, they're like, hey, what is this? And they even say, oh, if you open this grave right now, it's the same grave. I dug it myself, and me and the other brother. They may say to you, because they use their weak intellect. So that's why iman, the aqidah is important, get you in this level. That if Allah said it, that's it. If the Prophet ﷺ said it, that's it. Yes, it's happening. Even if you don't see it in front of you, it's happening. But certain people, they believe in only what they see, tangible things, things they can touch. Yes, subhanAllah. Aynam. And they deny many other things. And they have intellects. Can they see their intellects? Okay, that person telling, do you see your intellect? Yeah, so you don't have one. No, I have one. Do you see it? Why it's not like that? No, it's not like that. So we, alhamdulillah, we learn that an ayat, we accept them and we accept the sound ahadith. Whether we understand the meaning or not, because that's where people are, that's where we need the ulama to explain to us, alhamdulillah. Number three, al-inkaru ala man istankara shay'an min nususi as-sifat. And those people who deny these attributes sifat, they are refuted and they are corrected and addressed. أخيرا lastly, قال ولما سمعت قريش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الرحمن أنكروا ذلك فأنزل الله سبحانه وتعالى الآية وهم يكفرون بالرحمن. The last proof he mentioned this chapter, that when Quraysh heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying the name Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, they denied such a name. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى he revealed the ayah 30 in Surah Al-Ra'd. While they disbelieve in the Most Merciful. المعنى الإجمالي قال يذكر الرحمن يعني حين كتب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في صحيح الحديبية. So this means that this happened, this incident took place in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah between the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Quraysh. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in that treaty he ordered the companion who was writing Ali radiallahu anhu to write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They said, as for ar-Rahman, we don't know who he is. Because they know Allah. They said, as for ar-Rahman, we don't know who is ar-Rahman. فلا نعرفه ولا ندري من الرحمن ولا نكتب إلا بسمك اللهم. As in Sahih al-Bukhari. They says, we don't know who is Ar-Rahman. He says, Bismi Ar-Rahman, in the name of Ar-Rahman. We don't know this Ar-Rahman. These are the pagans of Quraysh. They says, no, you're right. Bismika Allahumma, in the name of Allah, not Ar-Rahman, because we don't know what is Ar-Rahman. So the Shaykh says, this is Sabab al-Nuzul. This is the Sabab, the reason behind the revelation of this verse. Also, this is another statement, says, قَالُوا ذَلِكَ حِينَ مَسَمِعُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَدْعُوا فِي سُجُودِهِمْ وَيَقُولُ يَا رَحْمَنُ يَا رَحِيمُ. Also, they mentioned this. Also, he says, when they heard the Prophet ﷺ while supplicating in his sujood and asking Allah, invoking Allah and saying, يَا رَحْمَنُ يَا رَحِيمُ. فَقَالُوا, they said, هَذَا يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ يَدْعُوا وَاحِدٌ وَهُوَ يَدْعُوا اثْنَيْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And then they start saying, this man, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, he claimed that he worshipped only one God, but he's calling upon two. He claims that he's worshipping only one God, but he's calling upon two, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Okay? He said, this is another reason for the revelation. قال ولا مانع لا مانع أن تنزل أن تنزل الآية لسببين أو أكثر. So there is nothing wrong, no harm that the ayah may have different reasons of revelation behind it. He says, as for the explanation of the ayah itself, it has preceded, because that was the first proof actually in this chapter. That was the first proof in this chapter. ما يستفاد من الأثر أولا ثبوت الأسماء والصفات لله عز وجل. That this ayah, amongst many others, affirm the attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their names and the attributes. You remember that the qa'ida, نُثْبِتُ لِلَّهِ مَا أَثْبَتَ لِنَفْسِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ أَوْ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ لَهُ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الصَّحِيحِ. That there is a qa'ida of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that they affirm, and we should do so as well. We affirm for Allah that which He has affirmed for Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from beautiful names and lofty attributes, whether in his book or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed for him in the sound narrations. And of course, without tahrif and ta'til and the like. ثانيا, أن تعدد الأسماء لا يدل على تعدد المسمى. Just because there is many names, the multiplicity of beautiful names does not signify the multiplicity of the named one. Of the named one. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful names. It doesn't mean that people say, okay, well, As-Samad is one God. Ar-Rahman is another God. These Muslims, they worship so many gods. Allah. And they have another God, Ar-Rahman. They have another God, Ar-Rahim. They have another God, As-Samad. They have another God, Al-Qawi. They got another word. Multiple names, but only one true God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahu al-asma'ul husna, to him belong the beautiful names. فَلِذَنْ مَشْرُوعِيَةُ دُعَاءِ اللَّهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. That it is legislated for us, alhamdulillah, to call upon Allah and to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names and attributes. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وانتهى هذا الباب إن شاء الله.